And now the final speaker is Claude Laberge, the scientific director of Cartagine from the University of Montreal.
Thank you to the organizer for giving me a few minutes to talk about this population genomics project that is going on in Quebec. We are in the phase A, so I recruit 20,000 individuals aged between 40 to 69. We started at the beginning of August this year, want to end up on the 1st of November next year. These participants are selected randomly by our health board, the RAMQ, according to their postal code and according to the districts of Canadian census, to be proportional to male and female and population density of each of these districts. We are ramping up in four metropolitan census area in Quebec out of six. The government, by decree, created a Cartagin RAMQ recruiting office, whose people belong to the RAMQ under the security and so on. And we've had audit and authorization of the Quebec Access Commission. So this is the structure of the recruitment. Since it's population representative, out of the 20,000, 15,000 will come from the metropolitan area of Montreal, 3,200 from Quebec, 700 and 800 from Chicoutimi and Sherbrooke. The other two metropolitan area that we're not sampling from are Three Rivers and near Ottawa, the Gatineau. But our sampling area represent 90% of the population of that age in the metropolitan area. So name and addresses are given to the service of RAMQ Cartagin. A letter and a brochure is sent to the individual by mail. There's a follow-up by phone if we can find the phone number. 40% we cannot find, so we have to oversample by about 5-1. They are then offered to participate. If they do, then an appointment is made near their house in a recruitment clinic, and a reminder of the appointment is sent a few days before. So when they come in, they have to consent to the access of researcher through Cartagin to governmental database with health care insurance here. So we have access to physician, medication, hospitalization, registries, and so on, 10 years before they come and for 50 years after that. The consent is general, so it's to improve the knowledge and improve the healthcare system. Each will see condition on access to the database. They have one option to be recontacted period according to some period or not. And they're given a questionnaire to be sent by them to a genealogy database that exists in Quebec, and that would be probably more useful for French-Canadian origin. So we have a nested, you know, founder population within our general framework of recruitment. And they're given an evaluation questionnaire like in the hotel, you know, did you like it, and so on. So those that answer usually say it was very fine. We had some media coverage, and this is a cartoon that one of the largest newspaper in Quebec did on this. The next day, the phone rang off the hook at the RAMQ service. And the interview is about 2.5 hours, depending on medical history. We have people over 69 who've been sick all their life. It takes about 3 hours. But, that's a health questionnaire, like census, socioeconomic, medical, lifestyles, and so on. Some physiological measures, like bone density, partial EKG, blood pressure, spinal cord, arterial rigidity, and so on. Blood and urine are taken. Some tests are done locally because they have to be done within 4 hours, like blood count and glucose and uric acid and so on. The rest is sent to a central lab for the whole province, which is in Quebec City at the University Hospital, where about 18 markers are done, from TSH to lipids and so on, depending on markers for domains of interest for researcher, and the rest is prepared to be sent to the biobank, which is in Saguenay-Chicoutimi. We give a compensation of $45 for, you know, under the minimum wage. For the, this is the organization of the biobank. It's robotic. DNA is on dry paper at room temperature, and this is a robot that prepares the plates. So to have access to this database and resource for research, it's open to researchers, accredited researchers, either from public or private organization. They have to have a local REB approval of their protocol. There is a central REB because the project is at, and the database is at the University of Montreal, so the Faculty of Medicine REB is the institutional REB. We have a sample and data access committee, which is completely independent from us, with 8 people, lawyer, scientific, journalist, and so on, that will evaluate the use of the protocol and the non-replaceable material, and make sure that research proposed is toward the goals where people sign the general consent. Then we will construct the cohort that the researcher wants. They'll probably try to have access on our server so that it doesn't copy CDs and so on. And if a researcher wants download from the governmental database, we have to have an access commission permission, procuration for Cartagin to build up the cohort, because we are double-coded. We don't know the names or any personal information, so everything comes through the RAMQ through different codes. And one of the obligations of the researcher is to return the results to improve the database, mainly, eventually, genomic data. We're part of a consortium, a public population project in genomics, which was financed by Genome Canada, Genome Quebec. Cartagin is part of this. The Canadian cohort of 300,000 that is being built up for the Tomorrow Project is part of the Petri G. And at this time, 24 biobanks around the world are members of Petri G. And all these biobanks are harmonized around 60-65%. In Canada, it's 95%. So that will give any member of Petri G eventual access at this time to 6 million people around the world. I have about the same genome from the AppMap anyway, but they have completely different environment, cultural, nutritional, and so on. So the power, statistical power, is in the numbers. So finally, as of today, we've completed 1,127 interview in the ramp-up phase. We have 2,500 appointment until Christmas. We have 5 sites operational. one in Chicoutimi, one in Sherbrooke, and three in the Montreal area. We're going to go to seven more, two in Quebec and the rest in Montreal, the generals coming in, Rosemont and so on. And until now, the participants are quite satisfied. People are doing this through altruism. There is no profit for them. For the next generation, 40 to 69, 30% of the people already have a chronic disease, or the partner has a chronic disease, or somebody in the family had cancer and so on. So they do participate, and they're quite satisfied, but understanding that the first few weeks are, you know, we got bugs and the printer doesn't work, and can I get a copy of this consent form, although it's signed like, you know, electronically. But and we are preparing for a phase B, which would be another 30,000 more spread out in the province to represent different areas and to eventually become an instrument of public health and validation and eventually kind of a surveillance instrument embedded in the governmental system.
In fact, I have many questions. When you are talking about the consortium, international consortium, my first question is how many countries are involved in this? That's my first question. And then here in Quebec, I assume that it's kind of the same protocol that in other, I won't say in other country, I would say other states or country. Are you representative of the administrative unit of the country, the province, of the states? And if yes, to what extent do you see scaling up what a genetic cohort like this can do to help improve our ability for surveillance that is more closely linked to the environment?
There are many questions here. I think there are 40 countries represented in a membership of P3G, because to be a member, a partner, you have to have a cohort of at least 10,000 and more. So, for example, the Canadian Survey of Health is 5,000. He's a partner, but not a member. P3G was started in 2007 with the grant from Genome Canada and Genome Quebec, and been working on harmonization between biobanks. More specifically, at the beginning with the UK Biobank, the Scotland cohorts, and so on, and then the NIH, some of the cohorts. But now we have 24 biobanks that are trying to retroactively harmonize, but mainly, you know, prospectively being harmonized. But since they don't have all the same sampling procedure, the same goals, the level of harmonization is about 60%. If you go on the website of the p3gconsortium.org, you'll find a observatory there, and you'll find, I don't know how many hundreds of questionnaire from different cohort and so on, so you can, you know, choose exactly the wording of your question and so on. Another problem we have here in Quebec is we have to translate everything, so that cost goes up, because translation, then back translation and so on. Here in Quebec, our goal was to create a resource that would integrate genomics eventually within the health system and within public health in order to prepare the translation to personalized medicine. Quebec is one of the leaders in the world in terms of genomics. We have great researchers, great institutes, So we can look at this different level. But basically, historically, demographically, Quebec was founded 400 years ago by a group of settlers, mainly from Celtic origin, like Normandy and Brittany, and grew up, and then some immigrants came over, Irish and so on. And recently, last generation or two, another wave of migration from Asia, from the Caribbeans and so on. So we have a structure that within this 20,000 and eventually 50,000, probably 8,000 to 10,000 people will fill in the genealogical data. So we have a kind of a bigger Iceland, nested into this. The migration to the metropolitan areas, specifically Montreal, comes from the region, from the founder population over the last 200 years. So we have the same genome, different history, environment, and within Montreal, we have a third way of comparing with a representation of the Hapat, in fact, because 27 languages, I think, are spoken in Montreal. So we nested this so that it could be useful for everybody. And people always say, well, why don't you use the French-Canadian? And the answer is we did that for 25 years with the Quebec network. We found the Mendelian disorders. Now we're looking at complex diseases. And any citizen in Quebec has the right to have the information and the knowledge from wherever they come in the world. So that's heterogeneous, but we still have the possibility of doing decode type of things with a lot of power. So it's deep phenotyping, longitudinal, not a big number, but a lot of data and integration within the system. And the proof of that is that the MQR Health Board manifested the interest that they would like to participate in the improvement and evolution of the Medicare system. And the government, the Council of Ministers, decreed that they could do that because it wasn't clear in the law of 1970 they could do it. So it's already being integrated politically.
You have to excuse my ignorance about the Canadian healthcare system, but you've mentioned there's a link to governmental databases. So how rich is the governmental databases? Are they electronic? How far can you actually go back?
Everybody lives in Quebec for a while as a number, a card, a unique identifier that gives them access to the free universal healthcare. So anytime he goes to see a doctor, there's a trace of it. Half the population in the 40 to 69 are under a program of medication within the healthcare, so we can have the information. All hospitalization diagnosis, which are better than just a RAMQ and seeing the doctor or whatever, because the budget of the hospital depends on the weight of the kind of diagnosis they produce every year in their report. So they make sure the diagnosis is pretty good. And then you have registries like breast cancer registry program, cancer registry, or birth and death registry. We're not going at this point. I don't think the Access Commission is not used to us enough yet. But eventually, for environmental measure, it could be possible to access through I-coded information about income, place of residence, and so on. And then compare this to other database of environmental pollution, weather, number of snow that we had that year, whatever. So it's all integrated within that system. It's a complete, like the American would say, socialized medicine.
Can I ask one more? I dream of asking this question to you for a long time, so I'm mute. So you're talking about here in Quebec having all this very rich health data as well as the environment data and so on. And I assume Quebec, as other places, we also have government or private data on various facets of business practices, marketing or sales and things like that. When you are telling me that you have 40 countries that such cohorts exist where you would have sites in a certain number of sites in different countries where all those measurements of health, behavior, and facets of those environmental factors that are to be modified. Do you see kind of a possible extension, for instance, of the type of work that is done currently in those genomic cohorts that are primarily, I think, for healthcare and for health disease and stuff, to use it much more to be able to assess? If you assess policy, you need to assess it at the level of states, countries, and so on. So build upon such a thing, such a work like this, to scale up what can be done scientifically to match this for other source of data and start modeling this complex system.
Well, it could be done, I guess. But you see, there's 24 biobanks and 40 countries represented by membership. You can become a member if you want to contribute and work on international work package and so on. But, you know, the goals are not the same depending on the different country and biobank. For example, UK Biobank started about 2 years before us. I went to the first meeting, the MRC there, and all they wanted to do is that they were mad at the fact that Decode in Iceland was starting to do a biobank, while we English have invented DNA. We're the best in the world, so we'll show them. We'll do 500,000. And but there's no unique identifier in the British health system. So they have to go through the list of general practitioners and ask for volunteers. Our friends in Estonia, after the Russian took off, the medical system was, you know, bankrupt. So Andres Metspalu, who's a geneticist, said, let's build up a new medical system through genomics. So we train the doctors, and you get. Finland, they had their hands on 600,000 twins. So I said, what do we do with this? Okay. So everybody had. But we started with the idea of translation to public health. So that's why we did it. Now the new ones are beginning, if their system permits it, they are beginning to use the same approach. And if these databases are available, depending on what kind of political system you have, you may well have, you know, business environment and so on.
Just one quick question. I was thinking that there's already a large Quebec family study, is there not, related to diabetes and cardiovascular disease? And was there any effort to try to connect these two, or is there a relationship between the two?
Well, the studies that you're talking about were done using the potentiality of genealogy and so on. Some of them have been done in the Saguenay-Lac-Saint-Jean, the Chicoutimi area where the biobank is, and that's why the biobank is there, because this population has been used for genetics for about two generations, and comparing the descendant of this population in Montreal in terms of obesity and so on. There are other cohorts, like the Institute of Cardiology is taking up volunteers to make up a cohort of about 20 or 25,000 from people coming to the Institute and getting very deep phenotype volunteers. We proposed and we worked together saying, okay, if you get your 20,000, I live in Quebec City. I'm not a client of the Montreal Cardiological Institute. So you'll need controls. Okay, so you need controls. We got 15,000 in Montreal. Can we harmonize your questionnaire and us? And then you can use the control. You don't forget about your controls, just do it. And that's the way we did it. But the problem is that it is becoming an instrument, and it is being slowly, very slowly recognized by public health officials because they don't like genetics. It's too individual. They like, you know, aggregate. They're becoming an instrument. And what happens to orphan database? This is not my biobank. It's going to be there in 50 years. I won't be there. But if a researcher does a cohort or a company does a cohort and, you know, bankrupt, what happens? What happened to what the people consented to be used for research? So we had presented a overseeing organization called the Institute of Population Genetics. The government said, we got enough institute, thank you. The ethics committee here with the multicentric policy and so on is well endowed to govern. It took about 14 months to get the approval. It cost millions of dollars. So we're starting to think again to look. You have the feedback from participants that say, when we give something, don't throw it away. Try to use it. So starting to propose a BBRMI, Quebec, Canada, to go back to harmonizing retroactively and get somebody in charge of maintaining this resource. So we'll see.
Yong Yun Shin from Virginia Commonwealth University. I really wish that I should have known your application much earlier. Some time ago, I was trying to write a grant proposal for five-level analysis with my colleagues. And while I was trying to formulate the theoretical work, he emailed me, have you seen any five-level application? No, I haven't. I thought with more experience, you should have seen, I thought. And he said no. So by listening to your database, I think this is a possible five-level application that I see. So you have a human growth factor like BMI, let's think of BMI, that changes along time, and they are nested within family. So there should be individual background, that's the second level. And if you go back up, and there should be some school factor or neighborhood factor, and that's the third level. And then the genealogy factor, which is great, you have a lot of people from 40 different countries, that's the fourth level. Mm-hmm. And then if you go back up, you have four metropolitan areas. And the deviation, the variation across these four metropolitan areas should be of interest to you at the end. So this is really good five-level application that I see finally. I'm so excited about this.
Thank you. We use the metropolitan area for two reasons. First is money, to have a... to spread out nurses through the country. This Quebec is, you know, wide and distances and so on. So we want to have a clinical site, university base mainly, what people use in clinical research and so on, so that our data is quality control is perfect. And the other idea is that if we go to the 40 to 69 years old, what, in theory, what would be the most stressful kind of modern life effect of environment and lifestyle on genomics? Would be trying to get from Laval to Montreal or take the bridge at 5 o'clock in the morning. Hypertension certainly is a factor there.
Just to build on this, on the idea that you were mentioning, I think that this database is indeed, well, such a database that is emerging are indeed absolutely fascinating for the type of stuff that we are doing, not just to see what will be the change, the epigenetic change and so on over 20 years, but there's a lot of theoretically relevant interaction between, for instance, the RD2 genetics interaction and vulnerability to the to factors in the environment. There is it's very rich in terms of understanding, a much more customized understanding of those multi-level line of action. That's my comment. And the question also I was having for you, when we were talking with your people, I had heard that there could be some plans for a genomics of children. Is it the case?
Yeah, it's in the plan, but hurdles there, especially here in Quebec with our civil code and all kinds of things and ethics committees and whatever. You know, children are vulnerable. Participant, there's a special committee created by the civil code to take care of research in incompetent adults and children. So we have to have approval, consent of the parent until 14 or majority, and then re-consent and so on. So let's do the first phase first and think about this later. But in answer to your comment, the database, the questionnaire, the measurement and so on, been done with very multidisciplinary people. So even though it's called the genomic database, it's a CAT, as in the genetic map, still it can be used by sociologists, epidemiologists, demographers, and eventually we are going to recontact with a questionnaire on environment and nutrition that is being finalized by the For Tomorrow project to be standardized in Canada. But as a scientist, I believe that within 5 years we'll have, you know, biomarkers, quantitative, for nutrition and for environment. Already a pilot project is being done by the Institute of Public Health on urine with mass specs and so on in terms of mercury and PCVs and so on. So if you correlate this with the history where the people were, and you have the database of, you know, asbestos and so on. So more scientific in my mind than asking if I, what did you have yesterday? Well, I didn't have time, so I had a tomato sandwich.
Just my curiosity, you mentioned about data harmonization. So you have about 40 members right now?
There's 24 biobanks,
yes,
that are harmonizing,
uh-huh,
their content to about 60%, mm-hmm, across the board of their content, so that we can use the pool data.
So how many people you have to work on this data harmonization for achieve a 60%?
Well, we have the members of the consortium, and each biobank provides its information, but the P3G office here in Montreal, because it's a corporation and the leadership is in Montreal, at the University of Montreal, there were about five people. Now they're up to 15. But if you go to the observatory, you'll probably find your cohort listed there with the questionnaire and measurement and so on.
At this time, we also have time for general discussion. So if people want to bring up any issues or questions...